You're listening to Dynamo's Dozen. Now let's welcome your host, Dean Dynamo Kelly.
Welcome to Dynamo's Dozen, the podcast that we bring you each and every single week, where we talk about whatever may be on our minds, from pro wrestling, sports, entertainment, music, movies, muesli, fresh socks and jocks, and everything in between, never forgetting that sweet white powder, which is talc. You are here. I am your host, Ian and Dynamo Kelly. This is your latest episode of Dynamo's Dozen. And the man that you see to either the left or the right of you, depending on your point of view, is the great dazzler, Mr. Darren McComiskey, making his solo debut on Dynamo's Dozen today. It's been a long, it's been a long time coming, dazzler.
Indeed, pal.
A lot of people recognize that those long overdue. A lot of people recognize those pearly whites from the days of the Dynamo Podcast Network and, of course, the great Upper Tier podcast that you do. And you're filling in for the shopkeeper tonight because he's still a little under the weather.
Still not feeling great, the old shopkeeper. So I was like, you know what? Let's roll the dice. Let's go for it. And I will be honest. When we were talking, I was talking earlier, like, oh, let's do something tonight. And I was like, yeah, let's. And when you said what we were going to do, I was like, I'm in. I was like, I'm in straight away.
Do you know what?
Because I think those tectonic plates have just started to shift a little bit. Just a little bit.
Yeah.
And it was, just really, really enjoyed it. Obviously, you tell us first what are we going for, you know?
What's on our minds this week? I'm going to pass it over to you now in a second, but those tectonic plates that you speak of, they've shifted just enough to create a little bit of a ripple effect in the wrestling world. So, you being the guest of honor, why don't you let the people know exactly what we're going to talk about today?
So we tonight are going to talk about, obviously, the pay-per-view from Sunday night, which was SummerSlam. We're going to go through the card, and we're going to talk about what we felt was good, what we felt was bad, where the changes have been made, and stuff like that. And then we're going to probably have a little bit of a look in the mirror forwards, and maybe try and put some matches together for Clash at the Castle, which is September 3rd in Cardiff. So we're gonna try a little bit of that.
Yeah, so we're gonna get people excited for that because I know a lot of you, hopefully, guys and gals are going to it, including yourself and the shopkeeper. So we'll try and get people a little bit excited for that and whet the appetite. But we'll start off. What an opener! And by the way, I gotta say, big time WrestleMania feel to this card. It was a big feel event. I love those baseball stadiums. I don't know about you, Dazzler. I just love them.
Do you know what I've loved over the last couple of years is how they've brought the Rumble to those kind of stadiums.
Yeah.
And I think it's made for the Rumble, you know, where it's that open air atmosphere and where, you know, there's maybe that extra little bit of space. So the staging can be a bit bigger and I love the fact that a Rumble, I like the oil to be longer.
Yeah.
Which I think you get, you know. And obviously we still have those images in our head from Edge returning and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And the way he rocked up and going down the aisle and stuff. And that was unreal for me, I gotta say. I was a big fan of that. So I do like these baseball stadiums, I have to say. Good big feel off them.
Me too. In the wonderful proper wrestling town as well, Nashville, Tennessee. Great weekend in Nashville for wrestling all across the board. So this was the one that kicked it off and really was the shining light. What an opening match we have. Raw Women's Championship match. Bianca Belair against their very own Becky Lynch. Bianca Belair getting the W here, which we all kind of expected. But potentially match of the night, I dare say. Potentially.
I thought it was a great match. You know, like, I love, I probably, I'm just as big a fan of the women these days as I am the men, which is a huge shift in things for me, because, you know, I felt like for a long time, I felt, for probably for a lot of us, I felt like for a long time, you know, when the women came on, that was when it was time to get up and get the can of Coke and the Kit Kat out of the fridge and stuff like that, or you'd go to Jack's, you'd do this, you'd that, whatever. Like, when you see girls like Becky and obviously, and you know, like Bianca Belair, they're so athletic. They're so good in the ring. You know, like, they're so much further along than, say, some of the older generation of men were even.
Yeah.
You know, where they have great technique and in-ring style and stuff like that. And they're athletic. Like, Bianca Belair's athleticism is, you know, it's ridiculous. It really, really is. The girl's a complete athlete. Yeah, it is. You know, Becky is still such a big name. You know, she's still riding on the high from that man gimmick, you know, and stuff like that. She brought this kind of new, edgier character, which I was loving, by the way.
Yeah.
Was loving.
Yeah.
And then we got to see our first little shade of Triple H, because I've read quite a bit since Sunday. And apparently Vince had no interest in having Becky do the face turn. And this was apparently a Triple H move. It's one of the first big things that he's done, was the face turn for Becky. And I'm not sure how it's going to roll, because I don't know where Becky kind of goes from that loss. Now, obviously, we know since then that maybe, you know, she's obviously injured herself and stuff like that, and she's going to be on the shelf for a little while, which I think kind of suits in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's gone down like that to Bianca Belair, you know, clean. She's come out as the face and stuff like that, you know, with obviously the introduction of Bayley and Dakota Kai and Io Shirai and stuff like that. She's gone to help Bianca. I think maybe the natural thing there was to have that 3-on-2, maybe at Clash of the Castle, or maybe a 3-on-3 with a mystery partner, you know, when they pull someone, they pull somebody up. Who's the Welsh girl? Who they let go?
I know who you're talking about. Yeah, her name won't come to me now at the moment.
Imagine the pop. Imagine the pop.
Yeah.
She's a local girl, right? Yeah. She's in WWE. She was up in NXT. Oh, Dakota Kai. What's the other girl called? Anyway, like, imagine the pop where you go and you have Becky and Bianca versus Bayley, Io, and Dakota Kai, and all of a sudden, you know, the pop for the local Welsh girl is the mystery sixth member, and she's and if you win, you get your contract, that type of thing. You know what I mean?
It
adds a little bit and stuff. But I think with Becky now, I actually like the idea that she's gone for a little while. She separated her shoulder in the match, and I like that we won't see her on TV for a little while. You know, I think obviously on Raw they kind of started to write her off a little bit, didn't they, from the script? You know. Yeah.
Well, it's kind of like, it's a thing where absence make the heart grow fonder. And I know that they're kind of, I know that they're kind of penciling in Becky and Ronda for Mania. And obviously we see later in the card, a couple of little things that could lead you to think that it's a face and a you know, and a heel match. I agree with you. I think Becky's such a big character now at the moment from that man thing. Yeah. That she doesn't actually need a title at the moment. So I think it's
absolutely not.
She's a big enough character, and Ronda doesn't need a title either. Yeah. So that story can really write itself as we get into the later months.
100%.
So I suppose it's never good to see someone get injured, but I know what you mean. It's kind of the best out of a bad situation, having her off camera for a while. She can probably come back then as the man. Do you know what I mean? And that will get
possibly.
That will get a huge pop.
Huge pop.
You know? Yeah.
So, huge pop. Now, again, something that's kind of been on the socials over the last couple of days is that maybe they keep her on air because she's such a good talker.
True.
And she just keeps swerving matches or whatever, but I don't necessarily think that's kind of a face thing to do. You know, if she was going to continue with the heel gimmick, you could do it. But I think as she's a face now, I think you ride her out and you let her come back. And, you know, depending on how bad the shoulder is, maybe she rocks up at the Rumble.
Well, there you go. And that's what I don't think... I don't think H will go for any of that stuff. Like, this isn't Vince McMahon 94 where you keep Macho Man on commentary. You know what I mean? I don't think they'll do that. I know, look, we're always going to get the sheets kind of predicting stuff. I think now you're going to be looking at something, the start of something that's going to be long-term story planning. And yeah, look, it was a fantastic match. You know, we don't do grades on this show, as we know. We'll leave that to old Uncle Dave.
But don't mention his name.
No, I won't say his surname.
Don't mention his name.
But it was a fantastic match. I mean, it was catch as catch can wrestling. It was stiff wrestling in between. It was a good build. It was just a good story being told. And then great to see Bailey back as well, by the way. Great to see Bailey back.
She looked great.
Big time.
She looked great. Yeah. You know, she really did. And good to see her back. I don't like face Bailey.
No.
So I kind of
I like heel Bailey,
I gotta be honest. So yeah, I'm interested to see where this goes. It's a nice little faction they put together.
Yeah, 100%. Speaking of another match that may have been a surprise to a lot of people, it wasn't necessarily a surprise to you and me anyway. Logan Paul defeated The Miz with Maurice and Tommaso Ciampa by pinfall. Yourself and myself had kind of been talking since Mania, and I think we both saw the potential in Logan Paul from that, just from the little spots he had seen alone. I was like, that kid didn't just learn these today. He gets it. And by God, a 14-minute match for your debut singles match, and not a shabby match either. My God.
Absolutely not. No. You know, he put some big spots out there.
And hats off to The Miz as well.
Big rep. I got to be honest. I have to be honest. I'm such a fan of The Miz. It's scary.
Yeah.
I really, really am. Now, even back to his days as WWE champion and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah.
When he was going up against Cena and stuff like that. Like, the guy seemed to have not a lot going on from a physical standpoint. But he's so good in the mic. He's able to build and generate interest. Yeah. You know, he really, really is. As you talked about previously, he makes stuff relevant again, be it Intercontinental titles, you know, stuff like that. When you put somebody with him, he made Alex Riley relevant. You know, you put someone at Damian Sandow, he makes him relevant. Yeah. All of a sudden now he's with Tommaso Ciampa. We see what happens on Raw then. Like, you know, the guy has a star quality about him. And I don't think that can be, you know, misunderstood. But I think for me, the two biggest pluses from Mania weekend, I'll just touch on this very quickly, were Logan Paul and Pat McAfee.
Yeah.
To get them again, you know, on SummerSlam card, I'm just like, this is great.
It's like, funny.
I think it's absolutely, it really, really is. I mean, you look at two guys with the kind of outside appeal that they have. This for WWE is priceless at this stage.
Yeah.
It really, really is. This is, you know, every kid in the street knows who Logan Paul is, whether they're a wrestling fan or not.
Yeah.
You know, from his antics on Instagram and stuff like that. And this is huge for WWE if they use him the right way.
Yeah, because like even his show Impulsive, I think it is literally one of the highest rated shows. It's up there challenging Rogan and everything. Yeah. So like, and it's actually a pretty good show, in fairness. He's a lot more likable than his brother, that's for sure. You know, even though his brother ruffles the right feathers too, we get it here on Dynamo's Dozen. But
we understand where it's coming from, but
yeah,
I suppose it can be a little bit irking at times, can't it?
Yes, that would be the word. But Logan Paul seems to be the more likable of the two. He gets great guests on the show, and most definitely, look, he's just a natural athlete, isn't he? I mean, you see him do fireman carries in the ring and everything, and you're like, when's the last time you've seen a fireman's carry executed like that? Probably Kurt Angle, right?
I gotta be honest, man. From the word go, when he walked down that aisle, I just thought, this kid looks a fucking $1 million.
Yeah.
You know, an absolute $1 million. Even the way they had him, the ring outfit and stuff like that, the gear, he looked great, you know. He's going through the match. He's obviously, you know, he's building and building and building for his spots and stuff like that. You just thought, man alive, this guy is, he's just got everything for a guy who's so green, you know.
Yeah.
When I say green, I should say inexperienced. Because looking at him, he's not green at all.
He's certainly not green, yeah. But like,
no.
You did choose the right word in terms of that's what a lot of people would say. But
Yeah.
Look, I mean, going back to the Miz is like a modern day, you're familiar with the term carpenter, you know? They used to call them the carpenters, the old workhorses. Miz is like that, but not a job guy, even though he's technically jobs out a lot. He's that modern day carpenter that has star quality, and it doesn't really matter if he loses or not. So to have him in there in his first match with Miz made all the sense of the world, because he was going to get, you know, he was going to get the pop. And then most certainly, we need to talk about that frog splash. I mean, good Lord, I don't think I've seen something as impressive in I don't know how long. It's because when you're looking at something like that, say from my perspective, I'm going straight away, I'm thinking of the A, himself, and B, his opponent, and C, the landing. You know what I mean? And I'm thinking, boom, is he going to clip the corner? Is he going to fucking upend his pelvis or his knees? Or is he going to put all of his weight on poor El Miz?
Does he over-rotate and end up, there's so many variables.
It was...
From that height and with the angle and stuff.
Yeah. But it was Eddie Guerrero-style frog splash meets Rob Van Dam, how he's able to twist his body in midair. It was, and it was safe as houses. My God.
Yeah, it was. It was very, very good, I have to say.
And to see him get the win, he deserved the win. It was a great pop, great match. I'm really, really, like you, I'm really looking forward to see where we go from here with Logan Paul.
I think the crowd really, really enjoyed it.
Like, they did.
Because obviously, when he comes in initially, before many and stuff like that, I think people are looking going, get the fuck out of here. This is not for you whatsoever. And then obviously he rocks up at Mania and he probably puts a much better foot forward than people believe he's gonna.
Yeah.
So that garners a little bit more respect. And then guys go, wasn't bad. And then you see him and he goes and he puts in, 15 minutes with Miz and stuff like that. And again, the crowd are like, bravo. Yeah. Fucking bravo,
Take it out.
Yeah, you might not be, a seasoned vet, but for a guy who's only just got here, you're doing a whole lot of stuff right. And I think wrestling fans are like that. You might not like a guy, but you'll certainly respect him for what he's doing out there and for how he's putting his body on the line,
You win them over. That was it. Like, because, I mean, look, I was one of the few people that was like, Bad Bunny. It didn't really impress me a whole lot, but that's just me. Anyone that knows me, the people that listen to this show know I'm a little bit of a fucking snob sometimes. I appreciated the kid's effort and stuff like that, but I was looking at, this is all the Miz. You know what I mean? The guy's learned a couple of Hurricane Ronas and the Miz is basically running the show here. This was Logan Paul going in and actually working a match, like a full-on singles match. And absolutely bravo. Absolutely bravo.
Yeah.
This was fantastic. Next match, bit of a short match. Bobby Lashley defeated Theory by submission. Went on a little bit shorter than I actually thought it would be, and it was almost a squash. Not quite a squash, but almost a squash.
Yeah, it was as close to a squash as you can get without being a squash.
Yeah.
I understand again why, when you look at what Theory went on to do later on in the night. They tried to dumb it down a little bit. It's the whole, WrestleMania 10, Brett goes and loses to Owen and then beats you because you're going for the title later on the night. It's that kind of a thing, And I suppose at one stage, when we saw Theory, I kind of went, oh, fuck, is this going to, later on, I thought, wow, is this what's going to happen? Are we going to have this again where the guy loses and then rolls back out later on? Yeah. Again, Seth Rollins lost at WrestleMania, but won the heist that evening.
Yeah,
it's happened. We've seen it happen quite a few times,
Yeah.
I liked it, and then obviously the double swerve where he doesn't get the cash in, and the briefcase gets knocked out of his hand, and he gets upended and stuff. But the match itself, I don't know what other way they can protect him while making Lashley look strong as well, because I think they want Lashley to look strong. They need to make that Intercontinental Championship relevant again. Mid-card.
And I think also, I'll be honest with you, I'm probably one of the few people that just hasn't fully bought into Theory yet, and it's not because of anything he's done. In fact, maybe sometimes I just maybe now that I'm a little bit older, I try to let the guys work me a little bit more. So maybe it's just his head Maybe it's just a smugness that I'm like, I just don't like you. So if that's the case, then it's well, job well done. But, you know, as good as I think he is, I think H has probably been smart here and not, you know, pulling the trigger maybe as quick as, say, a Vinnie Mac or one of the boys in the back would have done. Do you know what I mean? Let it build for a little while. Let this build almost.
Let's slow play those pocket aces you've just been dealt.
100%.
Because you know how good they are. So exactly. Pull them out when it's needed rather than straight away.
Boom. Yeah. 100%. 100%. But no.
Listen, it's Austin Theory is Dolph Ziggler 2.0.
Yeah.
And they did exactly the same thing with Ziggler. They stuck the belt on him too soon.
Yeah.
They didn't build it.
Yeah.
And then what's he done since? He's languished. In the mid card, he's flattered to deceive at times. Ended up in a pay per view main event here and there, but in most of it, he's been underutilized because, again, for me, Dolph Ziggler's believable. He really is.
He is, and you know what it is. I mean, that's a great analogy. It was like they had Dolph Ziggler here. They had the onion, but they peeled all the layers in one go, and that was it.
Yeah.
Whereas now you're kind of slowly peeling the layers off Theory, and you can probably garner some sympathy over the course. If you do it over the course of 6 months to a year, you build up little bits of sympathy. You get to know the character a little bit more. And, you know, because they had that little bit on Raw last week where he didn't back down, you know, to the Usos and Reigns.
So the build, yeah.
Okay, so he's not a pussy here. This is good. Yeah,
absolutely. You
know? So I like it.
And he's had the stuff with Paul Heyman as well, where he was like, well, maybe when I win the title, you come and work for me. You know, he's been good. But yeah, I think I like the idea, I have to say. I do like the idea.
Well, we're one more match before the halfway point, before piss breaks happen. And what a match. What a match. The Mysterios, obviously Dominic and Rey, defeated the Judgment Day, Finn Balor and Damian Priest with Rhea Ripley, by the way.
Yeah,
what a faction that is! I have to say, Rhea Ripley just adds something brilliant to it. She's got elements of Sherry Martel, isn't she? You know, when she's out there screaming and fucking. Just
I got to be honest, when I look at her, I just see China.
Oh yeah, she looks like China, but I mean that scream, that
physical kind of
Sherry Martel, yeah, like it's
and the nice part is like she's, as you say, she's quite a physical girl, but she's not just letting the physicality do the talking. She's got a little bit about the persona and about the personality and stuff like that. Like, I loved, obviously, then last night on Raw when they come out and they attacked them, or when they attacked them serious and stuff, and she puts Dominic in the head scissors and she has him over in the corner and all, and she's like facing the thing, and then Edge's music hits, and she's like, oh, like she's seeing a ghost, you know?
Yeah.
I do have a small problem with Dominic Mysterio.
Go for it.
I just don't get it.
Yeah, it's...
I just don't get it.
He's not really putting a lot of work into his physique, has he? Which I'm a little bit surprised. Like, he's gotten a bit thicker, but I mean, thicker not necessarily in the... And listen, I'm not a body shamer at all.
Not at all. No, that's not... No, but like, I mean, I think he's built in a way that he could look phenomenal.
Yeah, he's a tick.
But
thick
he looks...
frame.
Right? But I want to see those wide shoulders and that waist that I can put my hands around. And I want that kind of a V shape and that cut in and stuff like that. And like at the minute, he's not anything near that. He's like
6'1". You know what I mean? He's six. Well, he's built at 6'1". Yeah, so he's probably up around the 5'11", 6'6" mark. Like.
Yeah, and he looks like, well, from any of the pictures I've seen outside of the ring, he looks like he's a giant next to Ray, which would lead me to think he is certainly 6 foot or close.
Yeah.
But I just don't get it. Like, I know obviously they spoke about maybe the heel turn at the weekend and Edge was possibly going to come and save Ray from the beatdown from Dominic and Judgment Day. This is what was being talked about before SummerSlam. And I think I would have preferred to see that, if I'm honest.
I think that will happen.
Yeah, I don't know whether they just might have missed a moment to pull the trigger on it.
Yeah.
I think, you know, like we talk about with Theory and stuff like that, maybe they're slow playing it in a sense. I don't know whether I think they needed to pull the trigger on Dominic for him to keep people invested. Because I think at the minute, people are like, I get Ray, you know, and we've always got Ray and whatever. But like at the minute, this is like, you know, Ray just bringing his son to the ring. Come on, let's go.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point.
Him being legitimately, I'm here because I'm, you know, because he never gets in the ring and slaps anyone around. He's always looking like he's, you know, he's that counter puncher. He's just trying to catch them with a lucky one, or do you know what I mean? There's a, I don't know if you remember, back in the early 90s when Dusty used to bring Dustin in to have tag matches. And it felt like it was being forced on. And you're like, you've got to like this guy. He's Dusty's son. I feel like with Ray, we've got to like this guy. I want to see Dominic, you know, leave TV for 6 months, come back looking like an absolute brick shit house with his hair a bit longer, with a couple of studs in, a couple of tattoos, and just be like this fucking, you know, big main ass. Just give me something. But like the minute you're giving me meh, I'm not buying it.
I thought they missed an opportunity here as well, because if I'm honest, it would have been, because obviously we know that Balor's the leader of the Judgment Day, and we know that they're leading to that feud with him and Edge. So imagine how much bigger this could have been if it was a case where, you know, Dominic did turn on the dad and Edge has come down. And then when Edge is cutting the promos on Balor and saying, you're a piece of shit, look, you've torn a family in two, you put me on the shelf, you blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? Make it much more personal even.
Absolutely.
And Dominic would probably fit in that group perfectly, because you can build him then in the background, because he's not living in his dad's shadow. He's with, you know, the three guys. Like, so
it feels like it's Ray and Sons.
Exactly. Whereas Dominic can be his own thing, a bit of a darker
side. He needs to be his own thing.
Yeah.
You know, he absolutely needs to be his own thing. He needs to be authentic. He doesn't need to be generic. I don't like the way at times they match them up in similar gears and stuff. I'm kind of like, don't do this. Like, he's Ray 2.0 other than a mask. Like, even with his move settings and this, you know, you're thinking, don't go that way, but give him something. I kind of want to see him just fucking, you know, clothesline from hell someone and use his physicality and just go, holy shit, does he have, you know, rather than being this kind of lucha libre, you know, I think he's got more.
Yeah, no, 100%, and I do. I'm just looking at it there, I'm just thinking Judgment Day would have been a perfect thing for him to do, because it would have meant more to this feud then, like, because, like, what was Balor's long-term goal? To split the Mysterios up, you know, these boys are that devious, you know.
Absolutely.
It could still happen. I'm just afraid that they missed the boat. However, let's look forward. I mean, we'll probably talk about this at the end when we talk about going into Clash of the Castle.
Yes,
our boy Balor certainly looks to be on the up, riding the crest of a wave in that heel role, and a feud with him and Edge is just. Yeah,
I think there's a lot of guys that are gonna have a big kickback from Triple H being in there, and I think Balor is one of those guys.
I'd say he's in the top two or three. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think if you look at Balor straight away, you look at Tommaso Ciampa.
Yeah,
you know, we see what happened on Raw last night. I think Ciampa will obviously go on to much bigger things than he would have gone on to under a Vince.
Yeah,
I 100% see Sasha Banks back in the picture.
Yep, me too.
You know,
Samoa Joe and Kevin. I see Samoa Joe back eventually, but I definitely see Kevin Owens.
I don't necessarily see Joe. I think Ring of Honor suits Joe down to the ground.
Possibly.
I think in Ring of Honor, he's a big fish in a small pond, and I think that suits him. But I absolutely think Kevin Owens gets a huge spin. I think we legitimately get an opportunity to have, you know, a WrestleMania main event with Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins or Finn Balor and AJ Styles, which you can't have under Vince because they're not two fucking, you know, two of the Twin Towers. Like, do you know what I mean? unfortunately, listen, we love Vince, you know, nobody more than me, I have to be honest. Like, I 100%. Love the guy, love the guy. But I just think he had so many limitations as to what his eyes were able to see. You know, when something worked, it worked. Let's just keep working. Let's keep working. This is good shit. Let's keep working.
Yeah.
And you're like, all right, we know it works. So now that we know that works, let's try something else.
Yeah.
Let's see, does this work? And if it doesn't work, we can go back to that and we can do other little bits and pieces.
Yeah.
But I don't think he ever gave stuff, you know, time enough. Like, if, you know, we're football fans. I think if Vince was a football manager, there'd be a lot of footballers with really short careers because he'd be like, no, not good enough, out of here, you know. And you're just like, just let it breathe. If it's not working, it's not working for a reason.
Let it breathe.
Let's see why it's not working.
Yeah.
Is it because, you know, the guys around him aren't good enough? Is it because he needs to be made bigger? What is it? Yeah, you know, for Vince, he's like, make it bigger. But, yeah. You know, like, I just think he had his limitations, and I think we won't see that under Triple H.
No, 100%. And like you say, you're probably going to see guys more my size rather than your size now up in the top.
Absolutely.
But no, you'll see a mix though, a blend of it. If you're good enough,
absolutely,
it doesn't really matter. You know, yeah. He'll utilize the big guys to their strengths.
How many times did we see David and Goliath? You know, and it's worked.
Listen, worked lots. Brett and Yoko, like, so, you know what I mean?
Some of my favorite matches, Shawn Michaels and Vader.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, Vader beats the absolute tar out of him for 25 minutes.
Yeah, Sean.
Sean does Sid, a little bit and comes Brett back and at him and takes
Brett and
Teasel,
it. You know?
Yeah, Brett
and Taker. Sean and Taker.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of Brett absolutely. And Sean in there, isn't there? It's kind of because they were the two.
There's a reoccurring team here. But I mean, like, you've got guys. Obviously, maybe you don't have the guys of that level. But you've got Edge. You've got Balor. You've got KO. You've got Styles. You've got Ciampa's. You know you've got guys. You've got Ziggler. You know you've got guys who legitimately can build to being something.
Of course.
Kind of you know, of push and with the right kind of storytelling. Look at Daniel Bryan. We all bought the absolute shit out of Daniel Bryan on Bourbon Street.
Yep.
We would have bought that every day of the week, twice on a Sunday.
Yep.
But he didn't give it to us enough. He gave it to us with Kofi and then had him squashed in 30 seconds.
Yeah.
For what?
Yeah.
Did we really get all invested in Kofi for Brock to chew him up and spit him out in literally like 30 seconds? What the fuck happened there?
Yeah, Vince was like, I'm listening to you and I'm going to give you the payoff, but just for one night only. You know what I mean? It was the same.
You're going to have the best night of your life and then you'll have fuck all after that, lads.
Yeah. It was like Matt Cardona, wasn't it? The way they done it with Matt Cardona. They gave him that title, you know, to give him his moment. And then, fuck it. I mean, another
the IC
guy
belt.
Another guy that slipped through the cracks and actually had a big look and had a phenomenal physique and fucking...
And you know what?
Breeds wrestling.
I 110% see Cardona back to WWE over the next 3 to 5.
Me too.
Because I think he's doing what a lot of the guys who came back and were kind of revered for doing, like the likes of, say, Drew McIntyre, didn't work out with WWE. WWE went, listen, we're going to let you go. We wish you all the best, blah, blah, blah. And he went off and he didn't accept it. And he made himself more relevant.
Yeah.
He put himself in main event matches. He won titles here and there. He garnered a following where people went, we believe in this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Then all of a sudden, you know, it was passed back to WWE and went, yeah, okay, we can use this. Let's... And nothing would give me greater pleasure than seeing Zack Ryder return. You know, that would, I'd love that, I have to be honest with you.
Especially because he's a figure guy like us as well. So, but we'll take a little.
He's a figure guy, and I met him one day. He's a good guy.
Yeah, I know. You just know he's genuinely a good guy. So look, we'll take a little pause for the calls, a little pee break. For you people listening at home, you don't really need to go pee because there's no ads here on this here show yet. So it'll just roll.
We can do ads if you want.
We will.
I don't need the pee, so I can just do ads if you want. I can just like talk about shit if anyone wants. It's fine.
Just do ads. Welcome back to Dynamo's Dozen, where we are, of course, breaking down SummerSlam 2002 for you beautiful guys and girls with myself, Ian and Dynamo Kelly, and the Dazzler, Darren McComiskey.
I'm actually breaking down my granola here as well.
You're allowed to break down your granola. That's absolutely fine. A man's got to eat. You're a grown boy.
You just can't beat granola, man. It's just fucking...
It's got to be done.
It's just the best.
We're going to have listeners probably saying we should have let Dazzler run ads here. And I suppose if Dazzler was going to run ads, he'd probably talk a little bit about his wheeling and dealing when it comes into the world of pro wrestling figures. So we might have another show.
Dazzler had a good day today in the wheeling and dealing of sneakers and trainers, as people would call them.
Now you've got my attention.
I have a little bit of a collection of trainers as well.
Yeah.
And
like myself.
I now buy trainers specifically for retail, to resell.
Yeah.
So, and this is the excuse I use when they arrive at the door, my wife's like, another pair of fucking shoes? And I'm like, nah, nah, it's all right. I'm selling them. Don't worry about it.
It's business.
It's business. We're making money here. So I rocked up with a, we give them a shout out. I rocked up at a place in Temple Bar today called Saint Street Sneakers. And Saint Street had six pairs of trainers belonging to me that they were selling. Yeezy, two pairs of Yeezys, pair of Jordan 1s, pair of Black Cements, pair of Jordan 4s, and something else. Anyway, so they were selling six pairs of shoes, me, and I had two other pairs that I bought, two new pair of, one pair of Low Dunks and one pair of Jordan 1s. So I was going in, I said to her, I said, they've six pairs in here belong to me. I said, plus these two I'm putting in as eight. I said, I'll haul back now until a couple of days shift, you know. Went in, lads are there. How are you, lads? Oh, what's happening, pal? Yeah, yeah. Saw the two boxes I had in my hand. The lads says, bring more in. I says, yeah. I said, well, I think I'll pull the trigger on these lads and I'll hold off. I says, like, you haven't sold any more yet. Your man says, we sold a load of yours. I says, what? I said, I thought you'd give me a buzz or whatever. He says, no. He says, I think one of the boys tried to reach out for you. I says, I got nothing. He says, oh, we sold four of your six pairs. I says, you're joking. He says, no. So I thought I had six plus the two is eight pairs. Now all I have is two plus two. I have four pairs in there at the minute for shifting. And he gave me four white envelopes, one for each pair of shoes that had been sold. They only deal in cash.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. My wife was ever the happy soul watching me receive money from my shoes that I bought. I had a pair of shoes. They're a pair of black Yeezy Oreos, they're called.
Nice.
And I have them 7 years. And I made a €5 profit on them after 7 years and wearing them 100 odd times.
That is phenomenal. Why don't you give people a little idea without giving an exact figure? What's the lowest amount that was in one of the envelopes?
I'll tell you what was in all four.
Right.
So out of all four envelopes, I got €800.
Nice.
So nice. That was pretty good. I was happy. Yeah. I was really happy. Yeah. And if you have anything you're looking to get rid of in the sneaker game, hit up the boys in Saint Street Sneakers. They're on Crow Street in Temple Bar. They're great lads. You can tell them I sent you. And they will look after you. If you've got anything really high-end, they can shift it for you. They have the clientele, you know?
100%. Everyone knows on this show.
Absolutely.
Everyone and their man knows that knows me. I am a big, big Soldier fan. You know that. I have many a custom pair, which I don't plan to shift, to be fair. But I would 100% recommend it. If you're around the Dublin area and you do like getting yourself a little deal, pop on in and tell them Darren McComiskey sent you, because
absolutely,
you'll probably drop a few quid, but you'll come out with a smile on your face. And then after that, go take a trip up to WrestleMania in St. Stephen's Green if you sell yourself a pair and buy something.
I did contemplate dropping the 800 on a pair of kicks that were there.
What were they?
They were Jordan 1 Supremes.
What colour? The black and...
The black and, like, purple with the gold stars on them. They were just...
They talk to you, like, don't they? And not because they smell. They talk
right,
to you.
Like, we're in this shop and there's 1,000 pairs of trainers. My wife just goes, holy shit, look at them. And I was like, exactly.
Yeah.
And she was like, how much are they? And I says, lads, give me the bad nails. And they were like, hey. And I was like, imagine that's what's in them envelopes. And she said, get the fuck out the door.
Listen, she made a good choice on this occasion.
Yeah, yeah.
It will come back around. It will come back around. Karma works for you as well as against you. So
absolutely.
But look, let's get into it now. Match number five, the man that you mentioned earlier, one of mutually someone that we love, both on commentary and in the ring. And by the way, he's got a hell of a great YouTube show as well. Even if you, because I know you and me like a lot of our American sports, and sometimes you just like listening to lads talking about it when it's entertaining. Pat McAfee,
And he could talk about taking the bins out and he'd be entertaining.
Do you know what? Sorry, ladies, but that's just a man's show, isn't it? That's just a man's show. Like, you know what I mean? It's drinking beer, it's talking fighting, it's talking wrestling, it's talking football, it's talking bullshit, but with entertainment. And I just think it's fantastic. Happy Corbin. Rumor has it that we could see the end of Happy Corbin at some point down the line as well. We might get a more real Corbin again, which, I mean, I can't see why you wouldn't. I think Corbin can do whatever he wants to do, to be fair.
I absolutely hate the Happy Corbin gimmick, I have to be honest with you.
That's what I'm saying.
I hate it so much because he has the ability to be a good heel. He really has the ability to play heel.
I think probably in the top three legitimate tough guys backstage as well. You know what I mean? The guy was former
Golden Glove champ, wasn't he?
Golden Glove champ, and he's a big boy, big boy. So
he's a big dude. He played a lot of football and stuff like that. He's legitimate, and as well, we know, like, he did a hell of a job selling himself going up against Roman Reigns last year.
Yes, he did.
You know, a hell of a job.
Yeah,
did some great stuff. You know,
very underrated.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I have to say,
be interesting.
But we want to see him as a really badass heel.
Well, another H project from NXT. So, you know,
100%.
I think he could do a lot. But this was another great match. You know, I saw a lot of people, not too many people, but people trying to call out some of the sloppiness in certain parts, like when he jumped up on the rope, and I was like, listen, not everything has to be crisp. You know what I mean? I remember Raven. Actually, the great Raven said once, you know, for a lot of people, I used to have a lot of DVDs, you know, Secrets of the Ring with Raven and stuff, and he's great mind for the business. And he was like, not everything has to be, like, not everything can be as crisp as Bret Hart does it, for example. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you've got to take risks as well, because if you're afraid of fucking up, then you're never going to know. So this is what I like about Pat McAfee. He's testing himself and pushing himself every time he gets in there. He's not safe.
And I, to be honest with you, like, I don't want a guy who's going to go in and be, oh, listen, I'm certainly not going to, and saying, you know, I want anyone to be putting anyone at risk.
And for safe, by the way, you don't mean he's an unsafe worker. You're saying he doesn't
exactly
safe.
That's what I want to make.
Yeah,
I don't want safe. I want somebody that's going to go out there and wow me, and it's going to go. Now, again, I also don't want the spot monkeys, which are the Young Bucks either, right? So I want that blend of, you know, I want that blend, because if there's two guys I hate more in pro wrestling, you won't find them.
You've definitely enamored yourself to my audience now. It's not just me, guys. It's not just me.
I'd prefer to shit my hands and clap than watch a fucking Young Bucks match. I got to be honest with you, they are two absolute jabronis. But
you're a huge Kenny Omega fan as well, I hear.
God, like, I don't get it. I don't get it. And, like, I know you talked earlier on, you're like, you know, you're a bit of a wrestling snob and stuff like that. I've got a different way of looking at this. And my way of looking at this is WWE is the Premier League. Anything under that is the fucking championship. And unless you do it in the Premier League, you can't call yourself one of the best in the world. The reason AJ Styles can call himself one of the best in the world is he came to WWE and he was as big as he was in TNA, as he was at Impact. You know what I mean? He legitimized himself. If you don't do that, the great Sting himself had to eventually come, because he went, you know what, if I go through my whole career here without making this step, can I put myself up there with the Flairs, the Hogans, the, you know?
Would you agree?
I think there's a lot of people say it that way.
Would you agree, Dazzler, because a lot of, you know, you and me are pretty much the same age, so we grew up, you know, on WWE, and obviously WCW as well, because we got to see that, you know.
The Monday Night Wars and stuff.
Exactly. I find it very disrespectful to WCW that we kind of have those comparisons of AEW and WCW, because realistically, right, back in the day, Raw was where you were going to get the meat and the gravy and the storylines, whereas WCW Nitro and Thunder was where you were going to see the quality matches from people you've never heard of. And then WWE were saying, oh, we need that guy. This is where Jericho came from, Benoit, all these guys. So
absolutely.
It's
Perry Saturn, Eddie Guerrero, Dean Malenko.
You know what I mean? So you mentioned the
Rey Mysterio.
You mentioned the Premier League. This was like this was like the Premier League versus like the top European league. You know what I mean? In two different in the battle. So it's very unfair to even put AEW in the WCW.
I would 100% agree with that.
Yeah.
You know, and you hear people say it. They're going head to head. No, they're not.
No.
They went head to head with their third show.
NXT, yeah.
And just about got over the line.
Yeah.
You know, like, let's not throw bouquets at ourselves, lads. The majority of guys that are in AEW are guys that WWE have either said, we're done with you, or they're guys that haven't done enough yet for WWE to say, there's a spot for you.
Yeah.
You know, the guys like a Hook, the guy like a Ricky Starks, those kind of guys, you know? The guys that may get there eventually.
Yeah, I mean, I think the one guy you would say that's definitely destined to be there is obviously MJF. He's the guy.
Yeah. Yeah, he is, absolutely.
He's WWE, you know what I mean?
100%. And he's going to be like such a good heel.
Yeah, like CM Punk's the only legit star. I suppose Daniel Bryan went there. That's fine. Daniel Bryan went because he just wanted to love his wrestling again. I get that. That's no problem. I'm okay with that. But, you know, CM Punk's the only legit major star. Yeah, but
do you think WWE look at Daniel Bryan and go, shit, we're missing him?
No, but I would say that they'd look at CM Punk and go, fuck, it would be nice to have him back.
Absolutely. Because
we could do a lot with him.
Yes, 100%. Although, I kind of think that worked a little bit better on paper than in reality from what we've seen.
Yeah.
Certainly in ring. You know, I think his mic skills they speak for themselves.
Yeah.
But I think at the minute, like, what he's done in the ring in AEW hasn't been great.
It's not enough repetition. We only spoke on last week's show, myself.
Yeah,
and
he's ring rusty.
Yeah. And working once a week, once every 2 weeks, it's not gonna get you there. You know what I mean? You need that regular rope burn. You need those those regular calluses on your back to get you used to it, you know. So
absolutely.
We're segueing. It was, you know, I thought this was a good match. The next match. Probably two of your favorite tag teams, and certainly two of the Shopkeeper's favorite tag teams, the Usos defeated the Street Profits.
I saw a post the other day, and it was an Usos appreciation post, and someone was saying, like, you know, they're very underappreciated. I like making statements. Have you ever noticed that?
I know.
I like making statements. I'm gonna make a statement. Lots of people are going to say, you're talking out of your hole. And that's fine. For me, I personally have never seen a better tag team in my life. I feel like the Usos are right up there at the very top of the tree for what I've seen, for longevity, for match quality, for style, for guys that can walk, can talk, can wrestle, can do. All-rounders can do it all. And as just as, you know, tag team wrestlers.
Mm.
Yeah, of course, you know, we had teams who were put together. You know, we had the mega powers, but they were really attacked. You know what I mean? They were only put there so we could break them up and we have a big... But, like, when you're talking about, like, legitimate tag teams, for me, the Usos are in the conversation. And again, it's only me, little old Dazzler. They're right at the top.
Listen, I have... It's very hard to argue that. I mean, if someone said to me, right, who's your favourite tag teams of all time? I mean, right off the bat, I'm going to say Tully and Arn. I'm going to say the Hart Foundation. I'm going to say the Rock and Roll Express. I'm going to say the Road Warriors. I'm going to say the British Bulldogs, of course. But also, I think of all the modern tag teams that are around today, I think the Usos and FTR are absolutely... in that conversation. And there's another team I see back in the WWE at some point, FTR, without a shadow of a doubt, now that H is at the helm.
Absolutely.
Because the only reason they aren't is because Vince just fell out of love with it, whereas FTR were H boys again. I mean, come on.
And And I think FTR have gone on to prove themselves, like we spoke about with Drew McIntyre. Let's just go and win titles. Let's just keep going and winning stuff. And eventually someone's going to go, you know, those two fuckers that we had here 6 or 8 years ago, they're really good all of a sudden.
Yeah.
People like them.
Yeah.
You know, 100%. Like FTR are still getting big pops everywhere they go. And every title they lift, the fans go nuts. So I can see that 100%.
And look at the profile. I mean, you have the likes of Brett coming out and managing them at shows. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah, so, I mean, that,
absolutely.
That, you definitely have stock in that. But Usos, for me, definitely the best tag team in WWE without a shadow of a doubt. I thought it was a good match. Yeah. I thought Jeff Jarrett, by the way, shout out to Jeff, friend of the show. Was actually cool because last week before the obviously Ric Flair's last match and stuff, I'd reached out to Jeff, you know, wishing him well, blah blah blah. Mm-hmm. He always said he'd stay in touch, and he's a man of his word. He's one of the few legit superstars that actually is just a cool guy that stays in touch with people, and you know what I mean. It's just will do anything to help. So great to see Jeff, give everyone on Dynamo's Dozen Land a shout out, which he did. So but he just looked a million bucks, didn't he? He's the glue, and obviously we'll talk about it at a later date. You know, he was the glue in the match then the following night in the Ric Flair match. He was just absolutely phenomenal. Jeff Jarrett.
And I got to be honest, that for me is something WWE has missed over the last number of years.
Yeah.
You know, because obviously, if you're on a WWE deal, you're on WWE TV. That's it. That's how it rolls.
Yeah.
I love that his deal allowed him to go and just dip his toe elsewhere and come back.
Yeah.
You know, he's just gone. He was obviously Sunday night. He was with Flair and stuff like that and Jay Lethal and Andrade and stuff. And I just got, I like it.
Yeah.
Because there's a relevance to it.
Yeah.
It keeps him relevant. You're not just relevant because, you know, and sometimes I see a guy go somewhere else and then I go, you know, I think we all remember like the likes of the early 90s again and stuff where Vader was going off to Japan and then he come back to WCW with a belt and stuff. Great. And you're going, ooh, what's got, you know, great, where did he get that from and who did he beat? And
yeah,
I think that, you know, that open door policy is something that could be changed under Triple H as well.
I would say Triple H will definitely look at the possibility of that. I mean, Jeff is 55. He looks a million bucks and he can still go. I'd like to see something in WWE in there. You know, I think it could be utilized in a small program, definitely. But it was a fantastic match. It was a great match.
Absolutely.
Great story.
Absolutely. You know, as much as I'm a fan of the Usos, I am a really big fan of the Street Profits.
Yeah.
And I think the boy Montez is going to be a huge, huge star.
Definitely.
I think, again, under Vince, size hurts him. I think now he's looking at a different guy in the chair and he's going, I'm in with a chance here.
Yeah.
I see the heel turn coming pretty soon, I imagine.
Yeah.
I think he's going to absolutely unload on Angelo Dawkins. Yeah. And just, you know, and we're going to get to ruin and everything and everyone. And you're going to be like, I do not give a fuck because I'm not here to lose. Yeah. What's it like? When you know, you can see the promo.
Yeah.
You know what it feels like when you go home at night and your wife is sitting there with a title and you're sitting there with the fucking wooden spoon in your hands during the dinner?
Yeah.
You know what that feels like? You know, when he bigs it up and he, you know, I feel like my wife fucking wears the trousers in this place because you, fat boy, Angelo Dawkins can't keep up with me.
Yeah.
And this is why we're, and he can go real at it. And all of a sudden, you've got this monster of fucking, you know.
Bring the realism to it. 100%.
Absolutely.
100%. I'm looking forward.
He 100% needs to be in our WhatsApp group because we bring the realism.
He definitely should be in our WhatsApp group.
We bring the realism, you know.
Go hard or go home.
you know what they say? When you know, you know.
When you know, you definitely know. Make sure that skin is made of leather. Otherwise,
yes,
don't join.
Do not come in there.
Second last match of the night. I was delighted with this story told. I was absolutely over the moon. And once again, we've got a wrestling guy bringing a wrestling finish that makes sense to it. Liv Morgan, champion against Ronda Rousey. Myself and the shopkeeper, obviously, last week, you probably saw it. We were kind of talking about this one and we were a bit unsure. because obviously you want to keep Rousey strong, but Liv's only got the title, so what do you do?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what you do. You have a 4.5 minute match where Ronda basically kicks the shit out of Liv, because realistically, yeah, Liv can't.
Ronda's going to kick the shit out of Liv. Yeah. Absolutely.
She's working on the arm, going for that fucking, you know, that arm bar, the cross arm bar. Liv is gaining the sympathy from the crowd, and also that mentality of not quitting. She's going to continue fighting. She gets
in. I'm hanging in there.
Oh, unbelievable. And I was like, where's this going? And then as soon as I saw that armbar, I'm not going to lie, as soon as I saw it, I went, that's going to be a three count. That's what they're going for. It was just, I was like, that's what they're going for.
Yeah.
But little did I know, they'd have the tap on two. Brilliant. It was so similar to Lex Luger and Brett at the Royal Rumble going over at the same time. Do you remember?
Yeah.
94 Royal Rumble. It was genius. And then we see the anger of Ronda basically getting pissed off, and rightly so, pissed off at the referee for not absolutely doing the job, paying attention. Then she flips out at the ref. So you see a slight inkling of a heel turn there. Genius.
And you know what? I got to be honest. Ronda needs a heel turn bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
So bad.
Yeah.
You know, she's not a face. People don't want to cheer her.
No,
they really don't. If you're going to be the baddest woman on the planet, be the baddest woman on the planet.
It's not because break into Liv's house where she
sleeps at night and terrorize our kids and then fucking, you know.
It's not because they hate Ronda or anything like that.
Not at all.
She's too vanilla as a babyface.
It's not authentic and it's not believable.
No.
And when it's not authentic and it's not believable, people call bullshit and they go, this doesn't smell right.
Yeah.
And that's what happens. And that's what they've been feeding us, you know.
So it was, but it was a genius finish, and I'm looking forward to see where they go.
Yeah, it was.
Main event time. 23 minutes of absolute fucking madness. Last man standing match.
I was like, at one stage, I was like, scratch my head. I was like, am I fucking watching this?
Yeah.
Is this happening?
You probably remember, I was sending you voice notes.
The Martians just fucking landed.
I literally said, you know, voice notes. Remember, I was like, what are we watching here? Like, what?
Yeah.
I mean, I was into it.
I loved it. I ate it with a fucking shovel on a spoon. Like, it was that good.
Like,
but I just couldn't believe they would go that way. Like, to see him shunt the ring and then tip it, I'm like, this could go badly wrong here.
Oh, it was
you got a guy myself using fucking farm equipment with like people sitting in the front. Like, unless the first and second row in the place were all fucking, you know, plants, I'm like, this was dangerous.
I was bricking myself. And when I saw poor Roman getting upended and falling out the ring, I was like,
I'll tell you what really worried me at one stage. He only came in first of all, right? And he brought the basket down.
Yeah.
Where it was like inside the ring. And I went, he's after forgetting that's there. If he throws him into that ropes for like an Irish whip, he'll put the lad in a wheelchair, you know, because he'd have been taken out with the neck by the bucket on this thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is nuts. And then you go see him move it and you're like, oh, hold on, he's realized it's not fucking. But then no, he doesn't go move. I'm gonna go and shunt the bleeding ringer. It was bonkers.
It was madness.
In a great way. In a great way. You know, there was a little bit of chaos. There was a little bit of madness. There was, you know, but I loved it. I really loved it.
Like, it's definitely not, it wasn't like your wrestling clinic, but my God, it was two lads going back and forth. Brock was in the dominant position for most of the match. And then Roman had a good spell. And of course, he's going to have, you know, the lads down with him and you know, Heyman acting the bollocks. And
I really thought it was good, man. I got to be honest, I loved it. And considering how many times we've seen Brock and Roman, and considering how many times people have gone, not fucking Brock and Roman again, I was like, do you know what? This was good.
They gave us, I enjoyed it.
They gave us something different. They gave us, we're wrestling fans, what should they give us? What we don't expect.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Paul Heyman said it when he talked about Brock breaking the streak. Maybe the streak was supposed to stay intact. Maybe Brock says, I'm going to dump you on your fucking head and I'm going to get you anyway. Who knows? Because he said the day after Mania, are you going to sack the guy who's just broken the streak and created the biggest buzz in wrestling? So, you know, Heyman knows what he's talking about. Like, I love the fact that I watched this and I went, I actually don't know what's going to happen next year. Like, this is fucking nuts.
It became more unpredictable. But yeah, where you were thinking, maybe Brock could actually take it here. Maybe he could. And then Theory came out, as you said, and you were like, no. After these two boys killing
each other. After these two boys lay the absolute smack on each other, is he going to come out? And are we going to have, you know, the Hoist Mark II?
Yeah. But no, we got smashed by Brock fucking straight away.
He got absolutely put. Yeah. Just fucking hell, man. They creamed him like fucking Walls creamed a Cornetto.
They kicked the fucking shit out of him. Look, I love these two boys. Roman just continues to get better and better. I mean, he is without a doubt the next Rock, the next Cena, you know, in a different kind of way, obviously, because he's a heel.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, he will eventually go to Hollywood.
Of course. That's when he goes. That's what I mean.
When he goes, he will be, you know, he will be, you'll have John Cena, you'll have The Rock, you'll have John Cena, you'll have Roman Reigns. Again, who knows? Maybe we get all three of them in a match one stage. Maybe we have, you know, the Hollywood triple threat live from WrestleMania in Vegas or Los Angeles or so. Who wouldn't watch that?
I'd be into it.
Absolutely.
I mean, obviously, we know this is where it's going this year. Obviously, his stock has just risen so high that, you know, we're going to get The Rock and Roman. A lot of people believe that doesn't need to be a WWE title match. I do kind of side with that too, because I would like to see H start to bring some meaning back to the belt. And I think,
you know, if it gets to Brock and or if it gets to Rock and Roman, Rock's not winning the title because he doesn't have the time to defend the fucking thing.
Exactly.
So in order for us to buy that steaming pile of shit that they're trying to sell us, we need to believe that Rock can go and beat him and become the head of the family and put him back in his fucking cage and go, listen, bitch, when I say jump, you say how high, and that's so for that to happen, he can't have the belt. So
it means more than the title. You know, WrestleMania 7 means much more than this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Warrior, Savage, like that's kind of what this is. And
absolutely.
I think what I would say as well, just in closing of the show, the little nuances that we noticed as well throughout the show in the commentary, we actually saw Michael Cole be a much more entertaining commentator throughout the whole show because he didn't have someone down his fucking neck every minute. We also heard some little innuendos in there as well where I think, what's his name, Corey Graves said, oh, you would have got in trouble for that a few weeks ago or something like that. And he goes, oh, yeah, it's great. You know, I'm paraphrasing, but it was like, it was something along the lines.
It was. Cole's been excellent. I got to be honest, I've always liked Michael Cole.
Yeah, me too.
I've always liked him.
Me too.
But he's been there. I just think Michael Cole with the lead off is like way better than Michael Cole.
Dude, there was so much. Like, did you notice there was pro wrestling references? There was belt references, like subtle little things.
Where's the list of banned words?
Yeah, I'd say
Michael, you said the word fan.
Say H showed them a sheet at the end. See that?
Burn it. Yeah.
It's gone. Burn it.
Burn it. Yeah, burn absolutely.
And I'd say Stephanie in particular said it. Because
do you know what word I'm waiting for?
What?
It's like my favorite word in the wrestling world. Vince has banned it for so long. When I see someone pick up the strap at Mania.
Strap.
That will just light me the fuck up.
Or the strap, the belt. You couldn't even say belt. Title.
You know?
It's all title.
Whatever. But let guys say something. Like give them the freedom. Like I'm giving you a job, but you're only going to do it the absolute way I do it. Say it, or otherwise you're getting the fuck out of here. Like you're killing the balls a little bit, aren't you? It's like being the phone police.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what it's like? You love this one. It's like your mistress wearing the fucking trousers.
There you go. There you go.
What could anyone fuck? That's what you've got a wife for. The fuck is this going on?
Well, I mean, it's, you know, there's a lot of rumor on you know, who fired this, you know, who fired the smoking gun, who was on the grassy knoll, you know, and I think there's a lot of stuff coming out and probably will continue to come out over the next couple of weeks where it might be looking a little bit closer to home rather than looking at these
board members. This is going to be a Dark Side of the Ring episode if I've ever seen.
Yep, because someone apparently didn't appreciate their mama getting treated the way that she was treated either. So it's there's a lot of stuff to come out, and I'm sure you'll be joining us, myself and the shopkeeper, for some of this.
Absolutely.
These kind of tasty details that come out over the next month or so, because it ain't going anywhere. It ain't going anywhere.
It's only going to snowball.
It's only going to snowball. 100%.
Absolutely. I
mean, just because Vinny retired, 100%. It ain't going anywhere. No.
I got to be honest, and I know, again, here's another big show. I like making these off-the-wall predictions.
I like it.
I think we could see Vince behind bars.
It is possible. It is very possible.
And I 110% legitimately think Vince will have to do a short amount of time.
Well, it's going federal.
And he'll do it.
And once it goes federal, and, you know, those motherfuckers don't forget. And they...
No. Well, he'll... Yeah, absolutely.
He escaped, you know, their grasp.
He's got history with these, but yeah. But I think maybe he'll go down for a year and he'll serve 7 months with good behavior and they'll put him in a protected prison or whatever they'll do.
Well, we heard, but we I heard him, the latest I comment from Linda, something. Didn't we?
I didn't.
Okay. Again, I'll paraphrase this, but they're out there on Uncle Jim Cornette's podcast. They actually had audio clipping. She was doing something down for, because she's obviously a Republican.
Yes.
She was doing something, which is fair enough. If there's probably plenty of Republicans that watch this show. We don't have a pony in the race, me and Dazzler.
I'm sound off a political guy. It's fucking scary, actually. But anyway.
Couldn't give a shit.
I'm too busy being a cunt.
Too busy being a see you next Tuesday. But yeah, apparently she said, he's going to have to find something to do with his spare time, such and such. Like, there was just a lack of sympathy. A lack of fucks given from what she was saying was like, well, told you so. So,
well,
the Stephanie McMahon thing, I think personally, I would not be surprised if she was privy to this and basically said, F you, Dad. See you later.
It wouldn't shock me. And you know what? Wouldn't shock me if Shane knew too.
Oh, 100%. It wouldn't surprise me if the three of them got together, Shane, Steph, and Hunter, and just went, fuck this guy now.
Time to pull the trigger now.
Yeah. I think everyone was looking for the Nick Cannon.
I'll give you rope to a certain amount. And after that, I'm going to let you fucking kill yourself. Because, you know, and that's fair enough.
Well, 100%, because we know that, you know, the talks of the sale is still possibly going on. And, you know, Nick Cam was brought in to broker that deal. And I was like, Nick Cam didn't come in and fuck him up. I was like, it's too obvious for Nick Cam to do that. Like, he's one of the top agents in Hollywood and in finance.
Yeah, I don't.
It's too obvious.
I don't think Cam gets enough out of it.
No, like, he has no pony in the race, really, because technically he's going to get his commission anyway. If that gets sold to Disney,
absolutely,
he's getting what he wants, you know?
Yeah.
And I think what he'll make sure is that whoever does buy it, because look, we know with Disney and all these companies, when they buy it to own it, but they generally leave it up to the people that are running it to do the day-to-day.
Well, they should.
As they should, because they've done it with Marvel, you know, they've done it with...
Yeah.
You know, it's the same with UFC. Dana White's a perfect example, isn't it? Once that sale, the Fertitta sold that, everyone thought, oh, that's it, UFC's fucked. No, they kept Dana White in charge and things stayed the same. In fact, it grew. So,
exponentially.
I wouldn't be worried. If Disney or Fox or any of these companies buy WWE, I wouldn't be worried at all. It's just, it's going to get exponentially, you know, more lucrative. But I think the product will pretty much stay the same. Let's, we'll spend a couple of minutes here because I know it's getting late here on our side. So, a couple of minutes, Clash at the Castle in Cardiff. I don't know why I'm doing a fucking Manchester accent for Cardiff.
That was a really poor attempt.
Yeah, I was doing a Cardiff accent. I sounded like the Dynamite Kid though. In Cardiff, innit? Yeah, all right. But no, so that was a really bad Cardiff. Now that's more like it, isn't it? Cardiff.
No.
Can you do it?
Still woeful. No, I wouldn't even attempt it.
No. Well, look, listen, I'm not a sheep shagger.
I'm from Wales, you know.
Wales, nah. I'm from Wales. I just can't say
it. A bit better. It was a little four-man, Sammy.
I could do that, but I can't say. And I know I said the sheep shagger comment, truth, I've got family from Cardiff, so fuck y'all, all right?
I didn't hear that. I'm pretty sure they tell you themselves they shag more sheep than people, but anyway, that's fucking another day's work.
100%. So you and the shopkeeper beware over there, right? Just make sure you don't get too close to the edge of the cliff when you're there. if you're going to have some fun, you know. So tell me, what are we thinking? What are we thinking now? So,
well, I mean, I think we know already we're going to see Roman and Drew.
Which is, by the way, I wanted to say that promo, that was very old school. WWE, the way they had Drew come out and do a promo. Just at the entrance way, like just halfway down the highway. Very early 90s, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was cool. I enjoyed it, I have to say.
Really enjoyed that.
Yeah, really, really did.
That's a great main event for you guys, but I also think you're in for a treat because I think that's where you're going to get the first match of Balor and Edge. Especially Balor.
I think we'll possibly get Balor and Edge. I think we know we're getting Riddle and Rollins. I think we'll possibly get Liv and Ronda again. Possibly.
Possibly.
I think we might have some sort of a tag match with Bianca Blair, or maybe we'll just get Bianca versus Bayley. She'll have the two girls in her corner type thing. And maybe to balance the books a little bit, Sasha and Naomi will come back and be like, 3-on-3, bitches.
Fair.
I would, if Sasha Banks music hits, that'll be me.
Yeah, you're a fan.
I'm a big Boss fan. Big Boss fan. What else do I think we'll get?
Sheamus is scheduled to work someone, no?
Sheamus. I wouldn't be surprised to see Sheamus get involved in the Roman and the Drew McIntyre match.
I was thinking that, yeah. Just out of jealousy.
Wouldn't shock me.
Yeah.
Wouldn't shock me. You know, maybe
Ciampa and Miz, maybe?
We should get Ciampa and Miz, I think. Yeah, because I think obviously that's going to turn next week when, you know, if Ciampa gets pretty close to that belt, Miz might get a little bit, a bit jealous, you know. I think we possibly get Montez versus Dawkins.
Oh, what about a prediction for you, actually, as well, just off the back of that? Because if we're getting Edge and Balor, I've noticed, right, this is the way my brain works now. I've noticed last week's Raw and this week's Raw, you've seen a lot of the Judgment Day basically kicking the shit out of the Mysterios.
Yes.
But herself has particularly been going after Dominic.
Yeah.
And making him her little bitch. So what if you got a tag team match with the Mysterios versus the other two from the Judgment Day? And that's where you could get the heel turn.
Or let's say there's some sort of a beatdown.
Yeah.
And Ray or Dominic ends up on the shelf. So for me, in that instance, it should be Dominic that takes a seat.
Yeah.
Right. We should get Priest and Balor. Right, versus Edge and Mysterio, and when Ripley gets involved, the Glamazon comes out. Beth Phoenix,
good old Rhea comes out to her aid. Yeah. I'd be happy with either scenario. I'd be happy with either
scenario. I think it's a possibility.
See, they could, yeah, because they might not want to give us the Balor Edge singles match too soon. They might want to keep that for...
They could slow play that to SummerSlam till Survivor Series.
Yeah, because Survivor Series is the next big, you know, next one of the big four. So
it's usually, it's typically the Sunday before Thanksgiving.
Yeah. So in fairness, they could give us the slow build to that one. And in fairness, it would not surprise me with HM and Steph either. Would not surprise me in the slightest.
Absolutely not.
And you could see the Glamazon come out there. Yeah, I mean, the Glamazon, it could be like something like the Glamazon and Edge versus Balor and Rhea. You know what I mean?
And Rhea, yeah, 100%. I very, very much expect to see Kevin Owens wrestle. Because I think, obviously, what they've done with the promos and the vignettes and stuff like that over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And I 110% expect to see AJ Styles wrestle.
I really want to see... AJ and all those boys starting to get one more push again, you know, not one more push, I mean, that lad can still go, but I want to see these boys up there, because yeah, it's great to see what they're doing with Dolph, you know. Dolph is relevancy again as well,
and it's important,
it's very important, you know. The guy looks like $1 million. He can work, you know, like Shawn Michaels, for fuck's sakes. You know, that's what he is. He's a carbon copy anyway.
He's Shawn Michaels Mark II. 100%.
It's not a bad thing. Yeah, it's a good thing.
Absolutely not.
So
again, it's not a bad thing, provided it's used correctly.
Correctly, yeah. It actually means something. It's got a long
time. And the stark raving thing is Vince used it so well the first time.
Yeah.
But it shocks you that he wasn't able to use it that well the second one. You know.
Look.
That we didn't get Braun Strowman coming in and throwing Dolph Ziggler around for 25 minutes, and then all of a sudden Dolph Ziggler just, you know, chin music, boom, ends him.
But sure, look, he's done it with so many of them. I mean, look, closer to home, like, look at Balor. They put all their chips in his basket because of H and Steph.
Yeah.
Because H and Steph apparently love him. And because, you know, their golden boy, Seth Rollins, fucking injured him, which, let's be real, that's exactly what happened. Because he also fucking nearly ended the career of Sting at that time. Not a knock on Rollins, but these are facts.
Well, there was, you know, when we say it's not a knock on him, like, I'm a huge Seth Rollins fan.
It's not a knock on his work now, but it's a knock on what he was doing back
times,
then. Yeah.
I think at times, you know, he could have been safer.
Buckle bombs shouldn't have been done on the outside of a fucking ring in the first place.
That doesn't take away from, you know, the character, the persona, anything like that.
No.
It just means at times he needed to put a little more time and effort into thinking about how the match was going to go and, you know, the minor details of where someone lands, as opposed to, I'll throw him and he'll land wherever the fuck happens.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
and that's what happened, you know, at that SummerSlam. I mean, the amount of arguments I had with people on this show even, I was like, lads, I'm not being funny and I don't want to use the wrestling card. Did you ever do a wrestling match? But sometimes you have to use that. It's like you talking about football. You know what I mean? It's like, well, have you ever fucking been in that position? And I was like, when you're looking straight away, when you're a guy that has to look behind him and then extend his shoulder out just so that he doesn't go neck first into the into a barricade, then that's because the opponent who's in control of that throw is not judging the distance correctly. That's just a fact.
He was two or three steps too far away for that hook.
And it can happen. It can happen.
And if he hits a bit higher up where his neck is just above the, you know, the rail, he takes it as back.
Yeah.
Job's good. We move on.
Yeah.
He gets a run.
Yeah.
And then he's in a different spot.
But the segue, I know it was segueing there, but the point is we're using, you know, Ziggler, Balor, Styles as examples. Like, these guys were given an opportunity, had a run, and then it was like, all right, now you've had your run, pat on the back, now fuck off. It's time for the bigger, you know, larger men to come in and, you know, excite me. <it's>, But look, I think that's the perfect way to end the show tonight. You know, it's good shit.
This is good shit.
Oh, yeah. Let me go to the bathroom for a minute. Come on. Where's Shawn Michaels? Oh, shit. He doesn't look as good as he used to.
Where's Mrs. fucking Michaels, you miss?
Mrs. It was definitely Mrs. Michaels back in the day.
I'm sure she was probably one of Vince's girls, right?
I'm sure Shawn was one of Vince's girls back in the day.
I'd say there's a lot of people who've had Vince's member in their mouth that wouldn't care to forget it.
This has been amazing. I love it. This is not a PG show anyway, guys. This has never been PG-14. This is PG-18. In fact, this is PG-21 tonight. So, but look, Dazzler, it's been an absolute pleasure. Great to have you on your first show on your own here. And I know you're not going to be a stranger, especially over the coming weeks. Not. There's got to be lots of stuff coming up and stuff that you're going to get involved in. So
we're going to be doing a castle preview and a castle review.
100%. You boys are going to be over there, so we'll have plenty of little clips from the show.
Myself, the shopkeeper, and Make a Wish.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. For those who know,
absolutely.
With that one, for me, Ian the Dynamo Kelly, for the Dazzler, Darren McComiskey, we are over and out. And until next week, we will catch you on the flip side.